All right, let's bring this meeting to order. The reports, Conservation Commission, October 18th, 2011. And the first item on the agenda are the minutes from October 4th. Do we have any comments?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Next item is the Virginia Lane Whale Restoration.
Just wanted to do a follow-up from the site visit. I know not all of you were there at the time of the site visit, but maybe you've been out since then. Just wanted to see if there are any follow-up thoughts or comments since we've been out there.
Well, for me, it is, the area is an intermittent stream.
Okay.
It's listed on the USGS map, and there's a reason why water pours into that place all the time. But we can't even talk about this because Steve's recusing himself. So we're going to stop talking about this now.
Although I did have one procedural question. Who was planning on filing this notice of intent?
The city of Newburyport would be.
Yeah, because I remember the last time you were saying that part of the city's agreement with them would be that they would maintain the swale afterwards.
The residents mean?
Yeah.
Right, the stone line channel and all the piping would be maintained by the city.
Yeah, but the thing is, if the city files the notice of intent, we can only put in a condition that the city maintains.
Oh, they're all going to be parties to the application.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, the primary applicant's going to be the city, but they'll all be parties to that work. They're all agreeing that the work will be done and so forth, yeah.
Oh, well, now that...
I can go back to talking.
Now we can talk about it since Dan just showed up. Excellent. Perfect timing.
Andy, the only concern I had was there's going to be landscape fabric and then the stones on top of that to make the channel, right?
Right.
And there'll be some loss of infiltration into the ground as a result, I suppose.
The water will still get through the fabric. It's just the vegetation that will be prevented from growing up through it.
Yeah.
So it's a vegetation barrier, not a water barrier. So it's not like having a sheet of plastic. It's a weed.
Because right now, clearly, a lot of water is getting into the soil, into the ground. And,
right. We won't be impeding that. We're just preventing the weeds and vegetation from growing up through the plastic barrier. So it's not a complete plastic like you see with a trash bag. It's plastic that's been weaved so that the water can get through.
Right.
Too fine for the vegetation.
So who did the delineation and all that? Who drew this up?
Oak Engineers. I had done the color-coded rendering on top of it just to show and a little clearer what the boundaries of certain things were. But that plan was designed by Oak Engineers for the work to be done. Mm. This was done in 2009, I believe. This is under when Moak was mayor. He had agreed to put some money towards having them design a solution to this issue.
Didn't Moak know that there was an intermittent stream?
Presumably, the company Oak Engineers does not exist in its present form, so I don't know exactly what was reviewed, but presumably all those issues were looked at. Again, they were looking at it similar to the way that as we discussed it out there, this issue of, you know, yes, historically there was a stream going through there before any subdivision was built there at all. Unfortunately, things have been built over the years, over the decades, that are not necessarily what we would allow it to be built today based on, you know, different conditions. But given the fact that it's conveying quite a bit of water through pipes heading, you know, from up the hill, it's effectively acting as a channel. And, you know, I don't dispute in any way that, you know, I wouldn't be building a house next to an area like that being concerned with flooding issues, but in its present state, the city has a liability and has to, of course, try to address that. And that's why the mayor's been talking to these residents this year to try to do so by making the water travel through in the way it was designed to in the channel. Whether or not, you know, that's something we're allowed today, you know, that's how it was constructed when the subdivision was built. And it's just because the vegetation has grown up so thick that and nobody's mowed it to maintain it, that it's become a flooding problem. So the attempt there is to bring it to the state where it was when it was built out as a subdivision, as a grass channel, rather than the thick vegetation that's going up there right now.
Right, but it's an intermittent stream. It's been there. It was there. It's in exactly the same spot as it was back before the subdivision was built.
Yeah, I mean, I
understand the city wants to get this taken care of.
Yeah.
But there's regulations that you got to abide by.
I understand, you know, like I said about being an intermittent stream. It's not... I mean, we're not talking about something that's connected to a much larger resource area, let's say downstream, upstream, et cetera. It's basically being piped for quite a bit through that area. So I guess I just, you know, it's worth noting that if in the large part, this area here is basically just a small piece of a much larger piping throughout the subdivision.
And that being said, we have the issue on top of it where right now, unfortunately for, I don't remember their name.
Hennigers.
The Hennigers, their driveway and garage are acting as a detention basin where if this is done, it's going to essentially inject all that water directly into the Little River. That's just downstream. This is one of the major feeders of the Little River. It is going to go straight down into that and straight down to the industrial park.
I haven't done the stormwater analysis of this one. I'm not convinced that there's so much water that's being kept in their garage that it's going to have that much of an impact downstream. I agree that there is some water that's being held there and dissipated slowly into the ground, you know, for sure. But I'm not sure it's enough to have a significant impact on the Little River downstream.
Well, every little bit hurts.
No, I don't disagree with that. I mean, certainly the industrial park is a much bigger beast, which I think is, you know, I would expect some of your concerns or reflections to come from. That's a huge issue. All the channels have been done over the years over there. Clearly, we wouldn't build out the industrial park the way we have historically if we were to build it out today.
No, but it's the water coming down from the basin, the rim of the basin, that's... Mm-hmm. Piling down on top of all the stuff that's down there. And that's... Just want to make sure you're aware of all this.
I'm aware of that, and when we've talked to the residents about that, we've explained the fact that they need to you know, expect several different things. One is the approval of the commission. Two is funding through the city council. And three is the agreement of each of the parties. We talked about a second ago, the residents signing on the work to be done. So I'll be meeting with the residents, I expect next week, to talk to them about that. As a second follow-up, I've already met with them several months ago, but to follow up with them on that. And once that's done, the mayor wants to approach the city council for the funding issue, and then the application will presumably happen, you know, after that.
Okay.
Is there any other questions?
Where are you headed with this? I'm saying it's an intermittent stream, and maybe it is, maybe it was. Where does that take you in terms of the permitting of this, or not, or lack of permitting of this?
Well, I think it's going to affect what can and can't be done there.
This project can't be done?
I don't know whether it can be done like this. I don't know. And, you know, on top of this area, we went and checked out the outlet on the other side of the next road there. And there was a pretty good amount of erosion on the other side of that, which is just going to get probably worse once this gets built. I don't know all the...
It's complicated because, you know, before the subdivision, there was an intermittent stream, let's say, but there wasn't the stormwater feeding into that area that there is now. Because of the construction of the subdivision. So there's probably more water heading into that area now than there ever was.
It's certainly going in faster than
well, but aren't there pipes leading into it
one of the complaints
runoff from the streets and whatnot?
Yeah, and one of the complaints that the residents have made, we all agree that developments that happened over the decades prior are not necessarily what we talk about today, but that there's more piping, more water, more coverage, more area in that subterranean area that's being captured than originally was.
Right.
By the,
so that complicates the thing for me, because I really don't know how to analyze it at that point. You've got what started as an intermittent stream before the subdivision. Now you've got an intermittent stream plus stormwater runoff heading into that same area. So, as I said, I'm not sure how to analyze it from a wetlands protection standpoint.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, but...
I'm just asking, you know, what would we do differently? What would we request, require differently than what the city appears to be proposing? If it is or was an intermittent stream, I'm not really sure.
That I'd have to look up. That I'm not totally sure on what the requirements are for intermittent streams.
I mean, I'm not convinced that, as far as whether or not it's an intermittent stream or not, I'm not convinced that it being an intermittent stream is a deciding factor. If your new regulations are in effect, I think it would be a deciding factor as to what would be allowed there, the leverage of control that the commission would have over it. Certainly that would be, if you will, a fully protected resource area. And that may very well be the case before the filing is done with the regs in place.
So. Well, it would seem like we permitted that swale to be built on top of an intermittent stream.
And pipes to run into
right,
it from,
yeah, so
from
was
the
streets. You know, it seems, from what I've heard, the biggest problem is that culvert is clogged up.
The culvert is clogged up with the vegetation. Sedimentation is built up because the vegetation has created essentially a barrier. And then the erosion that's happened on the Storybrook side is largely because there isn't any riprap or stone or anything to dissipate the impact. It's just going right into the dirt and pushing it.
Yeah, so I'm not sure that intermittent stream, in this case, changes much.
Nor am I.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, as I say, I have trouble analyzing the thing because of the combination of factors that's created the situation.
I think the question is whether the project can go forward with in a way that minimizes impacts, you know, downstream or at least slows the velocity.
just that they do something to stabilize that area as well. Whether or not we, even if we were to do this project from the vegetation in between Virginia Lane and Storbrook Road, there still be, should be something there to dissipate that impact, some riprap or something. So, but there may be something they can do even further down, you know, I don't know.
Eventually it ends up going into a culvert in under 95, right?
Mm-hmm. Eventually, yeah. It all eventually, as Joe's pointing out, the US Street's got all eventually heads in that direction.
Yeah, I think there's a major channel that you can follow it. I'm trying to look it up here, but you can follow it right from that area straight down. I've mapped the whole area and GIS, and you can see it coming.
Well, certainly on the other side of the street, it's more than intermittent.
Oh, yeah, no, it
it's a real stream.
It turns fairly rapidly after 95 into a...
No, just on the other side of the street.
Oh, on that, yes.
We were looking.
Yes,
know.
It does. It's pretty wide. It must be impressive during during big storms. Strangely, I'm staying home tomorrow.
That could be a good time to take a look at it.
Two to three or so. Yeah, it's a good amount. Well, something for you to bring up to them when...
Yep, same topics we've already discussed, really. Certainly, the question of doing something even further downstream than beyond Storybrook is a possibility. I'm not sure it would, you know, do a whole lot or contribute a whole lot. I think the real impact is right after the Storybrook, but there may be something that could be done even further down.
Yeah, but I need to do something. But trying to look and see where this comes out. Can't really see it from there. All right. Was there any plan done up for the?
I'm sorry, for the walkover. Yeah.
The
so.
Walkover, yeah.
I've drafted something. I'm waiting to hear back. Tony Fanari has agreed to sign. I have not heard back. I have to sit down with Paul Hogg, who is the harbor master. One of the requirements for him is that, even though it's part of their normal winter plan for storm events, that even during summer events, let's say, that storm events, that he notify the Director of Public Services, as well as myself, to let us know when he's anticipating a storm event. And it's really a formality, in my opinion, but just having to take a look at the language and sign it saying, I agree to notify the both directors of those departments so that they are aware. Me, more so that I can keep you abreast and make sure that someone's actually doing something down there. But Tony Fernari, so that he can make sure that one of his staff goes out there to pull it up. And then I need to have the two abutters sign as well, while that's required, have them sign as well saying, we agree to, it's the best of our ability, pull it up ourselves as well. So that. One of them is Dr. Hamani, which I wouldn't expect there to be any reliance on that schedule, but he is the one of the direct abutters there. We certainly could pursue the next two abutters along the street, but...
Is the other abutter a full-time resident there?
Yes, right. So, I mean, we have some possibility that I would still think the preference would be to have the city staff go out there as is called for in the plan, but again, as you mentioned earlier, as a backup to have the two of them say, to the best of our abilities, we can't hold them to it, but to the best of their abilities, we'll be able to pull it up as well. Tim Tracy had actually sent me an email, I think, yesterday or earlier today, asking, you know, for a copy of it, which there's no problem with giving a copy of it, but he won't be called out as one of the parties to pull it up because he's not on that street. So, well, we're more than happy to have other volunteers. We're trying to keep it to people who are actually right next to it and more likely to be there.
Well, why don't we move on to the certificates and requests. First one's Donald and Joyce Marchand. So Doug, you're about the only one who was able to get out there?
Probably so. And as I said earlier, on the whole, I think it looked pretty good, a lot better than property looking before the work was done. The only question I had really that I remembered not having planned with me was the walkway business that gets you from the front yard, side yard, down into the backyard on the one side of the property. I think it calls for, the plan calls for a movable walkway of some sort.
Oh, yeah.
And
flexible plank.
It's built in a different way.
Yes.
Basically steps going down that look pretty permanent to me. But, you know, they didn't have a plan, so you know, I hate to take that too far. The rest of it looked pretty much as drawn.
I think Jim had mentioned something about some plantings that were on the plan that weren't there, based on his observations.
I didn't notice anything like that when I went out there. I did notice the difference in this walkway.
There are what appear to be beech plum trees, but they're pretty small. They look more like beech plum shrubs. But maybe they'll become trees.
I had gone out there with this plan, the approved plan. I noticed the issue with this walkway here, although I'm not sure how significant that is in your opinion. But, I did notice that. That's the only thing I really noticed. It was a deviation, let's say, from the plan. The vegetation, I didn't notice anything that stood out like that. I mean, I did, you know, look generally to see. I didn't count individual plantings, but I got the general sense of what was where. I'm not sure if that's, you know, of concern enough. You want to ask him to come back in and, you know, propose some other resolution of that or whatnot before sign off is given.
I don't know what our reasoning was for having the removable versus something more.
Nor do I.
Other than there was already a large amount of current.
Yeah, I think
yes.
That's probably
a pretty big area, I think. Yeah,
I don't even recall if it was there originally.
I think it was just grass.
I think it's sort of like the when the city clerk was coming in for the elections, they need to put in, you know, a permanent walk and a temporary walk. It's kind of like trying to minimize the long terms throughout the year impact on the green grasses to have it be more of a temporary seasonal nature, even though you couldn't necessarily get out there every hour of the day to make sure they were pulling it up when it wasn't needed. But because of that, that's the reason I'm not sure how much I would care about it, because we'd have to actually be out there to monitor to know that they were pulling it up anyway. And frankly, I don't have enough time to go around and monitor every property like that. So,
I didn't see anything out there that would cause me not to issue a certificate.
Yeah. What was there was a shed that they were going to raise up?
There was a shed.
Yeah,
it's been painted.
not
sure it's been raised up, but it may be. Don't recall. I didn't recall that they were going to raise it.
I mean, it says existing shed. I didn't see anything in the motion to that.
There are walkways that go up to the shed on the sides.
I thought I remember something about they wanted the walkways.
The walkways were going to be high, and then they were going to raise the shed to match the level of the walkways. Is that?
Yeah, I think that was part of the reason for those walkways, is that they were going to have to get the trash barrels
right
up into the shed. So.
There wasn't anything in there about the shed being raised. Doesn't mean it wasn't discussed, just about the condition.
Yeah, maybe they just dropped it after they weren't getting the entire
based
backyard.
On observations, do you have an interest in making a motion?
I'd be happy to move to issue a certificate.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. Okay. Next item, Trump Chemical, 6 Mullican Way, request for determination.
From Strum Chemicals here with me tonight. I don't know what you know about the history of Strem, but Strem Chemical has been in the industrial park in Newbury Fort since 1977. And luckily enough, they're one of the few companies with this economy that they're able to grow a little bit. A couple of years ago, the headquarters are at 7. A couple of years ago, they bought this facility, which is number 6. It's been sitting empty for the last couple of years. What they want to do is they're going to move some of the manufacturing over here. And to do that, they're basically going to have to rebuild the whole building. You know, they have certain building codes they need to, certain building code requirements they need to meet. What I did was to make it kind of easy, I think, for you to see. There's 3 areas highlighted here in blue that are within the 100-foot buffer to the wetlands.
It's just as clarification, you say rebuild, you're talking about keeping the shell, but...
Yes, it's all interior. I have another plan here that shows... I didn't want to confuse the issue too much.
No, that's fine. I just want to make sure for the commission.
Yeah, it sounds like we're going to tear it up.
Oh, yeah. It's all... The existing shell is staying. It's all interior work, maybe some new walls and things like
that. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. But what they... As part of this remodel, I guess, what they're doing is they have to add a couple of pads. These 2 pads here are for garage doors. They're basically 10x10 concrete pads in an area that's already paved, so there's no net change, basically. This little blue T is a wall and a concrete pad, which is partially an existing pavement and partially, you know, grass area now. That's the only work that's going to occur inside the 100-foot setback. And like I said, most of it is in an area that's already paved. So hopefully tonight you'll agree with us that this does not require a full filing, that you'll be happy to let them go about their renovations without having to go through the notice of intent process.
You said that those 3 green areas are the only ones that are in the within the 100-foot buffer zone.
Yeah.
Is there, other than the inside of the building, is there any other work planned?
On the opposite side of the building, there's some new concrete pads that are going to be put in for AC and heating and cooling and things like that, but they're outside of the 100-foot buffer zone.
Right.
There's a lot of work to be done in this building. There's a lot of building codes they need to meet with their manufacturing processes. So it's going to be a very, very expensive renovation, multi-million-dollar renovation. But the shell of the building is going to, the footprint of the building is going to stay the same.
And no anticipated increase in the parking lot size?
No, they don't need any additional parking. And what we have shown on this plan, for the record, is we've shown a silt fence line to protect the wetland resources that are there, even though basically it's a building job, but we want to prevent anything from running into it. And as most of you know, I think all of you know, that in the industrial park, a lot of this wetlands is really mowed lawn, but it is considered wetlands. A lot of this is just mowed. You know, if you didn't know it was wetlands, you wouldn't think anything different.
Unless you're there during a big thunder storm.
That's right. That's right.
I guess I'm curious about this blast wall, what type of material it is. That you need a blast wall, maybe going into the wetlands if there is a problem.
That's actually outside of the building. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, I don't know. I know they manufacture
the blast wall outside. Separates. As part of the ventilation system, we have to, in case the power goes out, we have to have a backup generator. So the ventilation system continues to run in case there's no power for it. And according to the code people that we've dealt with, the generator needs to be separated from the transformer, because they're adjacent by a blast wall. It's concrete.
Okay.
In case the generator, in case the transformer goes up.
I don't know if it's in case the transformer goes up. Generally.
Yeah, it's probably the other way. Yeah,
okay, so it's not material that you're working with.
No,
not at all. Yeah, I'm sorry.
This is good old National Grid.
Is Is there any changes being made to the drainage system for the roof structure or anything like that?
No.
The commission may recall that 10 Perry Way, I think it was, maybe a couple months ago at this point, there was a similar application without the AC pads on the right side of the plan there. You would see the loading dock anyway was put in an already asphalted area, so similar in that nature. And they weren't proposing any more asphalt or anything, but just to put a concrete pad where asphalt already was. So to me, it seems like similar to that application. In that case, we put conditions relative, in the negative determination, we put some conditions relative to erosion control, which, as I recall out, but erosion control while they're putting it in just to make sure there's no sedimentation, but weren't anticipating any other particular issues to arise.
Is the entirety of the lot unpaved that's within the 100-foot buffer zone? Is that all mowed?
No.
Is any of that unmowed? Is any of that retention or retention?
None of it's really retention. Some of it back here is not mowed, but the majority, everything but on this side here is mowed when it's dry enough to mow. You know, after a rainstorm, water does sit there for quite a while. It gets to be tall grass back here, but a significant amount of this is mowed. The basically from the back of the building to very close to the property line down here is the pavement line. So a big chunk of the area inside the 100-foot buffer is paved.
If you want to see the, I have aerial of that. I believe it's that one. It's the one with the driveway that's exactly across from the current trim building. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
The taller vegetation, the wetland vegetation is in that back arched area that I marked off.
And probably a month or so ago, Charlie and I committed that with Andy to get his direction on it. Because there is another project they're going to do across the street, which is, I heard you talking earlier about cleaning a swale. We're going to commit next month with a separate project for a separate piece of property to clean a swale. So, as you all know, that area doesn't drain.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. It's amazingly flat.
It wouldn't be built that way today. Or it wouldn't be built at all.
It probably wouldn't be out there at all. But and this is the building with a big floppy fence, right?
Yes.
The
right
one
now,
that
yes.
just keeps flapping in the wind there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what happens, I've been working for the last year and a half or so with Strem's architects, and this has been one of those things where it's gone back and forth due to the expense of it, and probably 2 months ago you get the final drawings, and Charlie and I met and I said we better come and talk to the Conservation Commission to make sure, because they can't afford to get started and then get stopped.
Okay, any other questions? Any motions?
To issue a negative 2.
Second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Maybe we'll see you again next month.
Okay. All right, so.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
So we have no hearings and. Would you like to discuss the ordinance and regulations?
Just as a note, there's nothing that's come in for the next meeting as of yet. So, as far as the regs, I appreciate your comments, taking them into account. There's no problem making any of those. I haven't had a chance to type up, you know, a couple of adjustments we discussed in the last meeting, but. But I'll have that done in the next meeting, and presumably unless some of you others have comments.
Yeah, I apologize. I've been carrying the thing around with me for the last week, and I haven't been able to sit down with it and look it over, but I do want to do that.
If you have a chance, you know, sometime this week or early next week to do it, then I'll have a couple of days prior to the next meeting to plug in all the edits and get it back to you. And then if you're comfortable at that meeting, then we could ask the council sponsors to bring it before the full council.
How many? Do we have a couple of sponsors?
Yeah, I know we have at least two. I could probably get several. I talked to them. Probably get five if you want.
I'm not sure that really matters.
Yeah, we have the chairman of the committee it's going to, so yeah. Barry can help.
This one doesn't need a super majority, just a majority if you adopt it. So if you can secure the majority.
Joe, I think your comments were just on the ordinance, right?
Yeah, the ones I sent were just on the ordinance. Yes. I didn't get into the regulations as much as I wanted to. And
I briefly looked through the regs, and the only comment I had was on the vernal pool section, where we had talked about the ordinance and 200 horizontal feet. And it was 100 horizontal feet for the...
Right, and we made that change at the last meeting.
Right, the regs say just 100 feet. In fact, I was curious why it's in, if it's in the ordinance, why it's in the reg, the 200 and 100.
So we just...
was originally in the regs, right? The distance, the, and then Andy put it in the ordinance and probably left it in the reg, I guess.
In the regs?
Yes.
Feet horizontally outward from the mean annual high waters, are you looking at?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then 5B is the 100-foot septic system setback. On page 13. So I guess the question is, does that link need to be in here if it's already in the ordinance?
Well, I think
whether this is different, but I think as a policy matter, we generally felt it should be in one place, but not both.
I think, yeah, we generally agreed on that, and I wouldn't say there's any legal reason why we couldn't just drop it, but what's going on in the regs, it's a little bit different, is there's more language defining some of the values, or sort of the, if you look at, well, for instance, bottom of page 8, there's conversation starts about the buffer zone and has a preamble about what's so important about the buffer zone and why we have some additional requirements for work that goes on in that area. And then the same thing happens for the vernal pool habitat on the bottom of page 11. We have a preamble. We'll talk about what's the significance of that area. And just the way that those sections are structured, they're all structured such that there's a preamble, what's of significant value about it, and then definitions, critical characteristics, and boundaries follows that. So there is a little more language in there that's consistent amongst those sections. So you're right, it's not necessary. We could take it out. But it might make sense to keep it consistent to have that explanatory background for each of the sections in there.
I have no problem. I guess then my comment is that the 100-foot septic system should say 100 horizontal.
Yes, I agree. Oh,
okay.
I agree. And we caught that in one other location as well the last time that you mentioned. Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it's better to have that wording in the regulations just for clarity.
Right. I think, you know, these two sections are good, I think, because they give some background. If someone challenges later on, litigates, and says that, you know, they don't think that there's enough rationale for some of the requirements in here, you've got a good background as to why, you know, it's significant and what exactly, and relating that area, let's say the 200 feet, the 100 feet, the 25 foot, to that significance. So, you know, it's probably, I guess I would leave that as it is, but I agree that we should put the word horizontal in all the sections.
I think, just to clarify my mind, the hundred-foot septic system is 100 feet beyond the 200 feet. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, say that again.
The 100-foot septic system setback is 100 feet beyond 200
right,
feet.
Right, because the vernal pool habitat includes the 200 feet, so you've got a significant boundary between.
Should that be made clearer? I.e., 300 feet from the vernal pool?
I think so, because
I think so.
Clear to me.
Yeah,
I misinterpreted that entirely.
Yep.
I just did too.
We'll add another sentence at the end of item B on page 13 to clarify.
So it's a total of 300.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I thought that was on the septic could be
100 feet.
100 feet.
Right. That's. I was trying to puzzle that through my head too.
So we'll put something in the effect of it. Thus, the setback from the vernal pool itself shall be 300 feet, including the 200 foot.
And there are very few septic systems in the city anyway.
Yeah, and so are all the vernal pools are on city land. So, so there won't be any. No, there's one that's not on the city land.
Well, there'll be more in the future, obviously, with more effort, maybe.
Maybe.
So, yeah, what I'll do is, you know, thus the setback from the vernal pool itself shall be 300 feet, including the 200-foot referenced in section B2 of the that prior sentence. So. Section 62. So if you're going to take a look at it the next week or so, if you're going to give me comments, after that I'll assume that everybody's had a chance to take a look at it and I'll plug them all together. And then if you want to, I presume at that point it would be a motion to forward to the council members that you guys may or the full council want, and ask them to sponsor it. I guess that you're going to have more success after November 8th with the timeline, but at least it'll be in the process.
Yeah.
I don't, depending upon how the election goes, will it be best to wait for the first of the year? Or?
No.
I don't think it makes
just
a difference.
Go.
Get the ball rolling.
Yeah, let's get it going.
They're going to send it to committee anyway. So all I'm saying is that you won't have any action by them until after. You know.
Right.
Hopefully, you know, at least one of our sponsors will manage to hang on.
Well, yeah.
No, I best to have more than one.
Yeah, really. Yeah, there will be at least a couple of them.
Some, it seems like there's so many people running at large.
Yeah.
Maybe it's always that way. I don't know. It's just.
Yeah, I'm not concerned about that part because some of the regular counselors are going to. You know, I could get, I think, all of the at large counselors to sponsor it, plus probably three of the ward counselors, so. Except mine.
Just need a majority.
That's right. You know, that's all I want, the majority.
It's not as complicated as it's always. Yeah.
I wouldn't think my board counselor would support it.
Well, it spreads the pain out to the rest of the city, so maybe she would.
It might make some sense between now and whenever the Planning and Development Committee holds its subcommittee hearings on this, which they'll have to do. Since some of you have been here longer than I have in these applications, to just make through your minds about some of the applications that have come in over the years, and maybe we could call out a few that are good examples of, you know, that wouldn't be perceived as a negative impact to a development that the city has generally wanted, but shows how the buffer zone, the no disturb area, for instance, to either a vernal pool or more regularly a general resource area might have benefited us as a city to protect that buffer a little more. Might be helpful because we could pull up a map, an aerial photograph or something, just, you know, label a few things in a more graphical way. Than
we also talked to Andy about doing something. Joe's got some pretty good flooding pictures and doing something along the lines of a PowerPoint that shows some of the flooding problems.
It's part of the PowerPoint that I'm putting together. Spending a lot of time trying to do the buffer zone, you know, the riparian corridors and all that stuff mapping. So we'll have lots of colorful maps for people.
I mean, that Quail Run, I think, that discussion we had even in the last meeting about the lawn area, if you go across the street from there where there's two driveways, at least one driveway that comes right down next to the channel there, there's a driveway that we wouldn't be allowing under the new regs because we'd have a 25-foot at least setback, you know, if not keeping them further away. So they wouldn't have any flooding on their driveway, potentially not even in their driveway, you know, similar kind of situation. Mm-hmm. You just say in Virginia Lane, you'd have a 25-foot no disturb of any kind, never mind anything that you...
No, I mean, when you look at the topography out there around the Virginia Lane area, clearly that house, probably the house shouldn't have been built there, let alone the driveway in that spot. I mean, it's just in a hollow.
Yeah. The other issue that may crop up will be the industrial park and the all the swales and all sorts of what can be intermittent streams. We've said that a lot of those areas are wetlands too, as we saw tonight. So there's a lot of stuff in there that could be considered no disturb zones that are right next to buildings. So,
but if you're Mr. Meredith's piece of property.
Well, there's that too.
Speaking of that, McGrath Road, Bud Jarrett property, is the DEP out of that now?
No, actually, I called them yesterday, I called and I emailed, I got a response back, an email that they had asked for some more information from the applicant's engineer. They had just sent out the letter to the engineer asking for those materials or documentation. I asked for what that was. I didn't get a copy of the letter. I asked them to send me a copy of it, and they said they would. So once I have it, I'll let you know what it is. But presumably in the next week or two, they'll get some more information from the applicant's engineer and be able to verify whether or not it meets the requirements they had or concerns they had. I think they're just looking at the alternatives analysis and whether or not they could have minimized in any way what they're doing. But basically, it's still in a holding pattern until they have that information from the applicant. So that's as of yesterday. So.
One thing I would say is, if you're going to get comments, Danny, focus on the ordinance, because we, you know, the regs we can always change whenever we want, but make sure the ordinance is.
Yeah, I would say that's. If you have time to take a look at the regs, please do. But he's right; the ordinance is more important because, I mean, they're going to, as Joe said earlier, they're going to be looking at the regs. They're going to want to see what they generally say. But technically, the ordinance is the only thing they're adopting. Like, from your perspective, you want to make sure that they're not scared by anything that they see in the eyes that, you know, they feel like is something they want to pull into the ordinance. But
yeah, one question I was asked by one of the prospective counselors was, you know, is this going to affect people who it wouldn't affect now? And really, the buffers, other than the vernal pools, none of the buffers are different. It's just, you know, he was concerned with people who are outside the 100-foot or the 200-foot river, is that going to affect them?
Right. Except for the vernal pool, everything else is the same jurisdictional area.
Yeah, it's all the same
district. Well, there's a 25-foot
disturbance. Right. But as far, he was concerned because he and other people are more than 100 feet away from any wetlands.
Other than the vernal pools, that's because you've got a vernal pool habitat. Everywhere else in the city, people would still have to apply in the same way they have to today. It's just that you could regulate how much they do in that area. So the jurisdiction that's covered by the commission does not change. And I think it's important for them to know that as it is in every community, really, except for rural pools, the boundary of the jurisdiction does not change. So you wouldn't expect more people to have to apply in the city generally, except for rural pools, which you've only got a few. It's the same number of applications coming in. It's just that those people could be kept a little further away from the wetland itself. That's generally. So not quite as scary as saying everybody within 200 feet now has to apply for a permit.
Right.
You know, that would you know, maybe change things a bit.
Did you mean that you're meant to though, and more strict regulation than the other people?
That's true. However, that's pretty common in every community that I've seen, as far as treating it more like a resource area.
Yeah, but it's still...
It's different than...
I mean, you've even got jurisdiction right now to, I wouldn't say recharacterize, but to look at something and say, is it in, or is it not intermittent? So you know, maybe an applicant says it's intermittent, but you decide it's not, you know. So that's true. It is definitely a larger area, let's say. But
then don't we still have, isn't it still 100 feet within intermittent?
Right, but they can basically, as you saw, I think, on Lancaster, when there was a conversation about that one being intermittent, they can, for lack of a better term, sort of exempt themselves from, if they can document that it's actually intermittent.
Well, from the river, but the 100 feet doesn't, our jurisdiction is still there from the wetlands.
Right. Your jurisdiction is still there completely. Right.
Yeah.
Right, you just don't treat it as like a riverfront.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, if you've got a PBW, then it's still...
Not expanding our...
Well, I was just thinking those, the thing down on Parker Street, Shepherd's Auto,
mm-hmm.
where it was questioned whether I was throwing ice cream or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think we basically said we're not throwing ice cream at all, but I think if we might have had a more contentious decision.
Well, they already, we told them no anyways, and
yeah.
They appealed it and did what we were originally telling them to do anyways, so. So, all right. When do you want these comments by?
I think you don't know what you're going to say Monday next week. I mean, end of this week would be great, but I know everybody's week is busy, so if you could do it by like Monday next week, that'd be great. That'll give you at least a weekend as well. And that'll give me a few days next week to prepare, email it out to you, and have you take a look at it prior to the next meeting. I just find that, as you know, we're kind of strapped for time, so if I have a few days, it makes it easier for me to get that done.
Can you guys all put comments into Adobe? Or would...
I can email you the Word version if that's helpful.
Yeah,
why don't you do that?
Yeah. Okay. You can also just redline if you want, fax it or email, whatever it works. But I'll email the Word in case that makes it easier. I have mixed feelings about the whole Word, Microsoft Word markup tool. But if you use that, hopefully I'll decipher everything correctly. I find that sometimes it doesn't always go through, you know, the way that it's supposed to. You know, it's a little harder to track changes.
Well, it does some of its own little decision making.
Yeah. When you have too many things going on the same page, I don't like that as a tool. If it's a few things, it's great,
yeah.
You know. But if you have a lot of things going on, it's not worth using.
No, I think it's certainly seems very close.
Yeah.